I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at OurGeorgiaCoast.org.
For Monday, November the 8th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Atlanta's Summer Hill neighborhood is one step closer to getting a long-awaited grocery store. As WABE's Emil Maffa reports, the real estate firm behind the project has finalized a deal for land adjacent to Georgia State's football stadium.
The plans call for a Publix grocery store and other retail tenants to occupy what has been a parking lot along Hank Aaron Drive and Georgia Avenue. For years, residents of Summer Hill have had limited access to fresh food and a pharmacy. The store is seen by neighborhood groups as another major step in reviving the area that was once home to the Braves and the 1996 Summer Olympics. Branch Properties says it has now finalized a deal to buy the 4.4 acres of land from Carter, which is the main developer in the area. Groundbreaking is set for later this year, with the shopping center set to open by early 2023. Emil Moffitt, WABE News.
Well, a few policies aimed at spurring more housing in Atlanta are heading back to the city council. That's after 2 months of public input, in which much of that public said, no thanks. Stephanie Stokes reports.
The city introduced 3 zoning changes earlier this year. One would eliminate parking requirements for residential areas. Another would give owners more options for building a smaller second unit on their lot, like a carriage house. And a third policy would allow small apartment buildings on single-family lots within a half mile of MARTA stations. Atlanta's neighborhood planning units voted on the zoning proposals throughout October, and by the end, 18 NPUs chose to oppose. One deferred.
Those 18 NPUs represent 205 of Atlanta's 242 neighborhoods.
This is Gloria Cheatham, a resident of Tuxedo Park in Buckhead. She became part of a coalition of NPU leaders throughout the city mobilizing against the zoning changes. She says the neighborhoods are worried about more development bringing down trees, affecting historic character, and raising prices for long-term residents. Their concerns are varied, but the proposals aren't, she says.
And that's largely where the neighborhood's concerns are. The sledgehammer across the board, nature of the current proposals.
Atlanta City Council member Amir Faroki, who introduced the zoning legislation, says the city made changes based on public feedback, like reducing the small apartment buildings allowed near MARTA to nearly the size of a single-family home. The council also delayed that proposal until next year. Faroki says he does get why emotions are high.
It goes to the heart of what type of city we will be as we grow. And the reality is we're growing, right?
NPUs ultimately have an advisory role in the legislative process. An Atlanta City Council committee is expected to take up the legislation at the end of the month. Stephanie Stokes, WABE News.
Fulton and DeKalb elections officials say early voting starts next week for the November 30th runoff that includes the Atlanta mayoral race. Early voting for Fulton and some 30,000 DeKalb County residents who live within the city limits will run from November 17th through the 24th. Officials say weekday and weekend voting is from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at several locations. Atlanta City Council member Andre Dickens and current City Council President Felicia Moore will face off in the race for Atlanta mayor among the scores of runoff races across the metro. The number of flu cases in the state remains low. About a month into the season, health officials have warned many people could be vulnerable to infection because of the lack of influenza spread last flu season. WABE's Sam Whitehead reports.
Atlanta's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says seasonal influenza activity in the U.S. remains low, though is ticking upward, according to the latest data. Only New Mexico and the District of Columbia saw moderate levels of disease transmission for the week ending October 30th. The U.S. didn't really experience a flu season last year. The COVID-19 pandemic had lots of people masking up and keeping distant, measures that also slow flu transmission. Public health officials say that's left many people with lower levels of immune protection, which raises the risk for a bad flu season this time around. Sam Whitehead, WABE News.
More than $2 billion are about to flow into Georgia for projects like mass transit and rural broadband. The money comes from Friday's passage in the House of the Biden administration's Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Democratic Congresswoman Carolyn Bordeaux represents parts of the North and Northeast Metro and has long supported the proposal. When we spoke earlier, I asked how her projects for her district might align with neighboring districts like Atlanta.
Well, I know that both areas are very interested in transit. Of course, the 4th Congressional District has MARTA in it, and there's going to be increased funding for transit. We are all one metro area, so what helps us helps the 4th District and vice versa. What we need to be able to do is move around the metro area more effectively. So all of us are in the same boat. All of us are very interested in things like improving express lane transit, for instance.
When will we, kind of the folks on the ground, start to see the outcome of this influx of money?
We should start seeing it pretty soon. Unlike other programs that really take a little while to ramp up and get moving, these are funds that are flowing into existing programs, into existing structures. And we have the basic framework for getting that money out the door. So I think a lot of the surface transportation funds, you should just start seeing, you know, more projects happening, more roads being repaved and fixed and widened, more emphasis on transit, electric buses, more electric vehicle charging stations. All of that should be moving out, I would think, within the next year.
Tomorrow you have an event planned in Sugar Hill related to actually additional legislation that you are putting forth. Why Sugar Hill? Why is that the backdrop?
The legislation that I'm working on will supercharge the bipartisan infrastructure bill, because what it does is allow local governments to use leftover American Rescue Plan funds to help draw down the federal money to do more transportation projects and more economic development type projects. So we're going to Sugar Hill because they have some really innovative ideas that they're very excited about. They've redeveloped the downtown, but they have some transportation needs. They really want to link the communities all around their downtown so that people can walk into the downtown and are not dependent on their cars, so that they can build some great bike trails, and look forward to talking with them about that bill.
How much leftover money do you anticipate for your district there might be?
I don't know about the district, but I know that in Georgia, there's about $2.5 billion that still remains to be spent of those American Rescue Plan funds. And that's money that could be used much more flexibly under my bill to invest in all sorts of infrastructure and economic development related projects.
That's one hurdle down, but I understand another big vote is about to come up. Talk about what's next.
Well, we have the Build Back Better Act that is still on the horizon. It has been largely negotiated between the House and the Senate, so it's almost in its final form. In the House, we are waiting to get the Congressional Budget Office score to make sure that that bill is paid for and make adjustments if it is not. So we are waiting for that score, and then we'll hopefully be taking up that bill the week of November 15th. So really looking forward to that. There are a number of very important priorities in there for Georgia, including Medicaid expansion.
Representative Carolyn Bordeaux, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. We appreciate it.
Great to be here.
Speaking of bills, your fuel bill continues to remain elevated in the state. Motoring group AAA saying it costs nearly double to fill up your tank now compared to some points last year. Alex Helmick has more.
Demand hasn't dropped as has been expected by this time of year, typically after the summer holiday season and as winter begins, as people usually do less driving. That, along with consistently higher crude prices, is keeping Georgia's gas average at $3.25 a gallon for regular unleaded. That's according to AAA. So a 15-gallon tank costs more than $48 to fill up. Prices here are below the national average of $3.40 a gallon, and the group says it expects gas prices to remain high through at least Thanksgiving. Alex Helmick, WABE News.
If you're a Cobb County resident and you've got one of those pesky elf on the shelf characters, time to send it packing. Cobb Superior Chief Judge Robert Leonard posted a mock order on Twitter banishing the elves. Now, if you're not familiar, holiday tradition says elves hide in homes for weeks before Christmas to report back to Santa who's been naughty and who's been nice. The elf dolls are supposed to move to a different location each night. Sometimes, you know, they don't. This distresses young children, so Cobb County kids, consider this a good thing. Judge Leonard describes his order as a gift to tired parents. That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at WABE.org. Lily Oppenheimer produced today's program. Our editor is Alex Helmick.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.